ओम शांति।
गुड मॉर्निंग। मे बी यू सीन अ कपल ऑफ पुलिस ऑफिसर्स कमिंग इनटू द ऑडिटोरियम। सम सॉ, सम डिडंट, बट यस, वी हैड सम इंट्रूडर्स अगेन अबाउट हाफ एन आवर अगो, एंड सो Nobody was hurt, thank Baba, and I don't think there's been any damage, again, thank Baba, but again, a big lesson, the conditions of the world are going to get, are they going to get better? Unlikely. Satyug is coming for sure, but before Satyug comes, there's going to be much, much turbulence, not just in terms of external nature, but probably also in terms of human nature. And when things are difficult for people, then they become desperate. And so you can't predict who's going to be doing what. What we can do is make sure that we stay in touch with the inner self and stay very calm, very clear, and then whatever it is that needs to happen on the external level, we'll make sure that it happens. But the main thing is internally to stay very calm. If you're afraid, then those vibrations create a lot of upheaval. If we're angry, then that's really bad karma and it invites more aggression. But whoever comes into Baba's home, if we can send them good vibrations so that then their intellects can be touched. You've seen it happen, haven't you? It's possible to touch intellects and change minds. And so the collective yoga power of Amrit Vela keeps us safe, but also our own stage, not just at Amrit Vela, but through the day, also keeps us safe, but also protects the yagya. When we are thinking about being protectors of the yagya, it means the power of purity, it means the power of calmness, peace, it means the power of non-violence, no violence even in our thoughts against anyone. So, drama keeps teaching us important lessons. And so if you see enhanced security in the car park or in entry points across the house, then don't get irritated. Why are they doing all this? But there's good reason to be doing all of this. And as you know, until November, everything was just kept wide open. Then from November onwards, we were a little bit more cautious, but now it's not just a little bit more caution. Things were in motion that we had to comply with, fire safety rules, regulations. It's a public place, and I think all of that is now sorted out and settled. And so I think you're going to have to experience a little bit of delay on all levels, but it's for Baba's home to be protected, for each one of you to be protected. And I share this with you not just here, but wherever it is you are, in your own Lokik home, as you walk down the street, just keep Baba with you, so that then that aura of protection is able to stay with you. And not just keep you safe, but it keeps everyone safe. So we keep hearing of things happening in other parts of the world, but never mind other parts of the world. Who would have thought that London is an unsafe place? I remember when I used to come back from my travels in the 70s and 80s. One particular incident I remember, I'd been in South America, Guyana, Suriname, etc. That would have been 76. And coming back to London, I felt so safe, so secure, just at the airport. And now, is there any place of security left in the world? One place. Baba's heart. Baba's heart is a very, very warm, secure, comfortable, loving place. And so stay in Baba's heart and you feel Baba's love protecting you. Nothing else but Baba's love. So, today's Murali, and the Murali is about purity and how Baba wants us to increase our power of purity. Yes, it's our inheritance from the moment of birth, but also it's a conscious nurturing of that state that'll keep it safe. Baba gives us purity as soon as we come to Baba. But then to what extent am I able to hold on to it and keep it safe so that it remains more and more powerful? It becomes more and more powerful. Just think about the quality of purity you experienced when you first came to Baba. And think about the purity that you've attained today. And think about the purity of your own final perfect stage. And so different. But the faster we move towards our own final stage of purity, not only is it of benefit to us, but it's of benefit for the whole wide world. Because there's a lot of suffering going on, and there's going to be more. And so unless we speed up our efforts, Baba calls the double foreigners the double intense effort makers. So that's the title Baba has given. And then, is this what I'm actually doing? One is effort, the other is intense effort, and the other is double intense effort. And so when Baba sees the double foreigners, Baba gives a lot of love, a lot of attention, and a lot of blessings. And the last two Muralis have been very focused on the specialities of the double foreigners. And today, Baba's remembered Australia and London in particular. So you'll be hearing all the very beautiful blessings and homework. It's both. Baba gives blessings, but Baba also gives homework to his children. So we'll be hearing that in just a minute. But I want to take up one particular aspect that Baba has spoken of. Baba has said, what are the signs when there is purity in the mind? And I'm sure that your wheels are moving and you're thinking about what the signs are that you know of. And Baba's made it very, very simple. Very simple, not complicated at all. First day's lesson, go back to basics. And Baba said, in the awareness of the soul, just being able to see every single one as brother. Yesterday Baba was talking about Drupadi, and I asked, I was reading English Murali, and I said that for the sisters to think their Drupadi is easy, what do the brothers feel? And I had a very beautiful answer. And they said, we're all souls. And so yes, of course we're Drupadi also. But sometimes whether it's the vision of brotherhood or whether it's the vision of being Baba's bride, so sisterhood. But brother is the term that Baba usually uses. So today also, the vision of brother. And just reflect a little bit on how when there is that vision of brother, Bhai Bhai Drishti, when you're seeing another, even sisters, as my brother, then it's a very natural experience of seeing the goodness of my brother, seeing the virtues in my brother, and having nothing but good wishes and good feelings for each and every one of my brothers. A question: if I'm experiencing any other feelings apart from that goodness that comes, what does it mean? Am I seeing them as my brother? And so although it's first lesson, I'm a soul, you're a soul, I'm seeing you as my brother, but whatever other barriers there are in our hearts and in our minds, the lesson of vision of brother is the way to be able to deal with all those other barriers and remove them and dissolve them. And so Baba said that the proof of purity in the mind is just simply your awareness, your smriti of soul, but also your drishti, your vision of brother. When somebody looks at you with a vision of brother, what does it feel like? It feels as if there's a sense of connection and belonging and part of the same family, the one family of God. And when somebody doesn't look at you with a vision of brother, what does it feel like then? Then you need to remember Baba extra hard so that you're protecting yourself from whatever is in their vision, whatever it may be. No need to go into the detail of that, but important to have bhai-bhai drishti. That's the proof. And not just for the time that we're sitting together in class, but when I'm doing some work, am I able to see my colleagues, whether it's Baba's work, whether it's Lokik work, am I able to see everyone with that vision of brother? And then the feelings that you're sending them are very good feelings. Not just good feelings at Christmas time and good wishes for the whole world, but at all times. And then Baba has asked the question, what is the proof of purity in words? And again, very beautiful answer from Baba. Truth and sweetness. Truth. Yes, of course. But sometimes we use truth as an excuse to be highly critical. And then I defend myself and I say, but I was saying the truth. They are really like that. It was really bad. And it shouldn't be like this. Why is it like this? It shouldn't happen. Yes, it's absolutely true. Everything I'm saying is true. But what is my attitude? What is my consciousness? What is the tone of my voice? And what is my body language? What are my eyes saying? What is my drishti saying? You know how our own sanskars jump in and we're trying to justify it and we're saying, but it's true. Baba's saying, no, if you're using truth as a sword to hurt another individual, then which account does it come into? Think about it. I'm justifying it, it's true. But it's coming into the account of really, really bad karma because it's causing not just sorrow, but it's actually cutting somebody's heart into pieces. Or maybe I'm not speaking to them directly, I'm speaking to somebody else. And I'm telling them, look, I'll tell you a secret. Here's the truth about this person. What's going on then? I'm polluting their mind completely. And maybe they trust me enough to believe me. Maybe they know me better and say, okay, there's a percentage discount I have to have in whatever I'm hearing. So truth with sweetness. Sweetness isn't a popular word today because we associate sweetness with sugar coating. We associate sweetness with pretense, camouflage, and it happens a lot. You know, somebody seems to be very sweet, very charming, but internally their motive is something else. And so sweetness becomes a way for deception. And so we don't usually think about sweetness as a divine virtue. But in the way that Baba means, and if you think about the stories you heard about Mama and Mama's sweetness and her way of dealing with people and things, absolute truth, but yet together with that, real, real, genuine sweetness. And the root of sweetness comes from benevolence. When I have nothing but benefit in my heart for somebody else, I'm not looking at anything else, but my main concern is that just as Baba is the benefactor, I should also be the benefactor and be able to give benefit to another. Then if I'm starting with that root of benevolence, then I'll share the truth because it's important. But I'll do it in a way that's not going to be hurtful and at a moment when another person is ready to be able to hear the truth and where they genuinely feel that what I'm sharing is for benefit. And so sweetness, but sweetness not artificial, but really coming from that inner space in which there's a feeling of wanting to give benefit to others. And so Baba said, words filled with truth and sweetness. Sometimes we catch hold of Baba's words and catch hold of half of it, and we forget the other half, but both things together. And in terms of actions, so thoughts, words, actions, and in terms of actions, Baba's used two interesting words again, humility and contentment. And if I were asked to think about humility, I would have said it's an internal state of mind. But Baba's talking about humility in action. And of course, Baba, the Dadis are the example. And you would have seen all the Dadis practice one particular mantra. I'll use the Hindi expression because I think many of you know it. Pehle aap, you first. Simple thing. The microphone is put in front of Dadi Janki. And she'll say, no, give it to Nirvabhai first. Or she'll say, give it to Dadi Gulzar first. The microphone is put in front of Dadi Gulzar and she'll say, no, give it to Dadi Janki first. And so whether it's simple things or whether it's more subtle things, but pehle aap, is this the attitude I've developed in terms of my family? You first, rather than me first, but you first. And that's really the proof of humility. Must be many other things, but this is what instantly comes to mind, where I'm able to put myself behind and allow another to be in front. And together with that, contentment. Again, it's an inner state, but I was talking about contentment being revealed through action. And so contentment in terms of action, there's nothing I need from you. And I'm not needing your cooperation. If you choose to cooperate, you're doing it because it's God's work. You're not doing it because I'm asking for it or I need it or I'm dependent on it. I don't need your support. So I think we've gone way beyond the thing of wanting external things and Christmas shopping and gifts and presents and all of that stuff. So I'm not even going to address that. Contentment in terms of external stuff, I think everybody here left that behind a long time ago. But in terms of Brahmin family, maybe even in terms of Lokic family, you know that, okay, whatever they want to do, fine, let them get on with it. I've shown them the right path, I've sown the seeds of jnana in them, now whatever it is they want, I'm content. But in terms of the Brahmin family, a huge amount of expectation. Why? They're Brahmins. And so that stage of contentment in terms of expectations from this family, now that's the stage in which then, really, you do something, fine, you don't do something, fine. Thaddeus got a lovely phrase she uses, and she uses this expression, Gui Har Jani, it's okay, doesn't matter, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. So the inner state of contentment and my dealings and relationships, it's okay, absolutely fine. I'm not needy, I'm not demanding, I'm not expecting, it's okay. You can see how then Baba said that if there's humility and contentment, then the visible proof of that will be, what do you think visible proof will be? Cheerfulness. Baba said you'll be constantly smiling. Why? Because there's nothing that's upsetting you. What is there that can upset you? If no expectations, no desires, no demands, anything upsetting you? So the proof, ever smiling, Harshit Mukta. So beautiful Murali, and Baba's message to the different groups is also very, very beautiful. But especially these three definitions caught my attention. And it's amazing. From the ocean, Baba's able to share with us something just in one sentence, and it captures the essence of everything. So, many things this morning, and so I'm going to ask Sister Denise to come up and meet you all, because next weekend she'll be in another part of the world. I think the person who travels most of the moment is Sister Denise.
Om Shanti. There's a very famous Frank Sinatra song from the 1930s or almost, that you go everywhere and everywhere, but it's oh so nice to be home. And I'm very, very lucky. I have two homes, because one is Madhuban, where I just came from, and one is London. And so I had, when I left here, it was at the time when we had the extra European teachers retreat at Antalya in Turkey. So we had 140 teachers from all over Europe and the Middle East and a few others. And that was special because we said we don't need to do any administrative things. We can just go deep into jnana and yoga. And so we had a very good time doing that. And it was a very beautiful place because right on the seashore, out of season, so it was a little bit cold, but we had this entire 5-star hotel to ourselves, and we had Gentiben to ourselves as well, which was very nice. And so we just really enjoyed what Brahmin life can be when it's pure jnana, pure yoga, pure experience of what it is that links us together as a family, which is the love of Baba and the love of humanity. And then after that, I went to Australia, and that was after 23 years gap. So it had changed enormously. And so I went to most of the places, from first of all Perth on the east coast, and then all the Western Australia retreat places and cities, and including Tasmania. And the thing that I was taking up in all the places, which is what I'm very interested in at the moment, you know, Baba has given us these three very simple words, Srimat, Paramat, and Manmat. And so in my thinking, I'm always trying to think, you know, what is it that's in our way? What's stopping us from moving forward? And so I came up with this thought that we're still including in our way of thinking and so on the conventional ideas of right and wrong, or conventional morality, conventional ethics, conventional values. And I was thinking always that these keep changing from time to time, from culture to culture, from place to place, from person to person. But the thing which Baba gives us is virtues, and he is called the ocean of virtues. So I've been really working on and talking a lot about that we need to go to Baba, the ocean of virtues, who I feel has distributed himself, which is why people think he's omnipresent perhaps. Well, his virtues are there in so many people. And, you know, when Dadi teaches us, she's always saying, you know, do not think that this is yours. This is a gift which is given to you by Baba. And you have to use it as a trustee for service, not for anything else. Like you have, somebody can sing, somebody can translate, somebody can do IT, somebody, whatever it is, all of it is a gift from Baba. We have talents, we have virtues. And so when we see other people's virtues, that's the way that we pick up virtues that Baba has distributed to someone else, for which we must use our third eye. And so really on the basis of soul consciousness, Baba's remembrance and virtues, we create the Brahman culture of our Brahman values, our Brahman morality, our Brahman ethics, which are really very different from the conventional ones, because those are based on male, female, body, social position, wealth, all of these things. So I spent just days and days and days and days talking about that, which was very interesting for me and also produced very interesting discussions. So in the retreats, in the public programs, the discussions, the meetings. We had a lot of meetings with the old Brahmins from 30, 35 years, there's many of them in Australia. So I met the old, golden oldies. So we had very good exchange and meetings and so on. Then I was also in Thailand. And in Thailand, I also hadn't been there for quite a long time. And one of the interesting things there was a presentation to the Seagate company, which makes the hard drives. So one brother is working there as a manager, and this is where all the hard drives are made. And you would be surprised, the everybody's wearing what surgeons wear to do an operation, and they have masks, and it's supposed to be 100 times cleaner than an operating theater, because they can't have any infection or virus in the hard drive dust, you know. So it was very, very lovely to be with the family, to go to all the places. I really feel that, you know, home is everywhere, but especially London and Madhuban. So thank you so much, and it's so lovely to be here in the Christmas and New Year days. Om Shanti.
A lot in a few minutes.
And of course, we're looking forward to Daddy. Daddy is really looking forward to coming.
Mm. On January the 1st, Thursday, it's a bank holiday, we'll be having Dadi here, but we are calling it her 99th birthday, 99 years complete, but in India they call it 100, because she stepped foot into her 100th year, and so we thought that over that period of the hundredth year, there should be something that should be of sustenance for Brahmins and special upliftment. And so you're going to see a video, and it's self-explanatory, so I won't say too much more about it, but it's very beautiful. And you'll see what I mean, and then afterwards, if there's anything further to explain, I'll do that.